Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the message. Father, I thank you for bringing us all together this morning. And we never know exactly what it is you want to teach us, what you want us to learn, and many times it's very different than what we think it is. And I pray for myself and for the rest of us that we would just listen to your Holy Spirit today, that we would learn what it is you want us to learn, that we would have receptive hearts and be open to being changed by you and by your word. And so I ask your blessing on this next time we spend together, and give me wisdom and the words to speak. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wasn't quite sure what to expect in going to Nicaragua, and I had some ideas about what maybe the purpose was for me and for Larissa and others, but I wasn't sure. What was it about? What did God want to accomplish? And I don't think we ever know, like I prayed, we don't never know exactly what it is that God has for us, because he always keeps part of that hidden from us for good reasons. Because sometimes we wouldn't actually put ourselves in situations to learn the things that he wants us to learn. But I could see throughout the 2 weeks, I could see glimpses of God's plan and just being in San Carlos. And I'm really thankful to have the privilege to be a small part of that plan. What was the trip about? Well, I have a few ideas. The trip was about Wendy. Now, Wendy is a 15-year-old girl from San Carlos, and she had serious eye problems. She had a lot of things going against her. At a young age, she had cataracts, and those cataracts had to be removed. And I learned a few things about eyes, but that cataract is really the lens in your eye that gives you the proper magnification. And when they remove that, you lose a lot of magnification. So if they don't put a lens back in, then you're basically dependent on glass, very strong glasses, for the rest of your life, which is the case for her. And she didn't even have any glasses, so she could hardly see at all. So we got glasses for her, but she also had other issues. Her eyes were really crossed badly. And when she came into the clinic, I just remember thinking, I hope we can fix that. Because she was very self-conscious about it. She looked at the ground continually, would not look anybody in the eye. And you just know, a 15-year-old going through school or whatever, your siblings, that she, I'm sure, was teased tremendously for how she looked. So I was hoping that we would be able to fix that. And she kind of captured the hearts of several in the clinic there, and we were all kind of hoping that she could get this fixed. But we have a limited number of surgery slots, and so it was a question about whether we, you have to make these decisions of somebody's not going to get their cataract removed, and somebody's not going to get their eyes fixed. And those are tough decisions to make, because we're only there for 2 weeks. But finally, it looked like they did schedule her for surgery, and Dr. Vivian was the one that did this surgery. And we found out later that Wendy, she attends a church in the local area there, and she had been praying for several years for the opportunity to have this problem fixed. It's a problem that in Managua, could cost up to $5,000 to fix. Just the cost of surgery. Of course, that's completely out of range for almost everybody down there in that area. And she was able to get this fixed for $2, essentially. We charge a small fee for everybody, but $2, and she was able to get this surgery fixed. One of the translators, Susanna, she asked her right before surgery, if she was ready, and she said, well, I would like to just one more thing. And she said, I'd like it if we could pray together before surgery. And so it was the surgical team gathered together and with Wendy, and they just prayed for her and prayed for the surgery. It was a very touching time, and it just reminded me, you know, what was this trip about? Well, God cares about people like Wendy just as much as he cares about you and I. And that was part of what this trip was about. It was also about, and this is a picture of her with her eyes straight, and it's a little hard to see, but basically Vivian was successful in getting those straightened out. They actually detached the muscle from the eye, moved the eyes, straightened them, and then they reattached the muscle. It's a pretty amazing thing. But the trip was also about Jose Antonio. This is a 14-year-old who was sword fighting with his friend with sticks, and he got a stick shoved right through his eye. So he came an hour by horseback and 4 hours on the bus to get to the hospital. And normally, in that situation, they would just have to remove the eye because there's nobody there that has the expertise to fix that. Just so happens we were there that week, that day. Dr. Vivian did surgery that evening about 8:30, a couple hours of surgery to stitch that eye back together. It had multiple tears in different directions. It took a long time to put it back together and then reinflate the eye with fluid. So I look at that and think, what if we hadn't been there? This guy would have lost his eye, and for a 14-year-old, you know, he's got his whole life ahead of him. But God, you know, has a plan, and God cares for Jose just like he cares for each of us. And then there's Danny here, who also had his eyes straightened out, and a young boy who, about 10 years old, who was just a bright, smiley guy, and just was curious about the whole surgery thing, he was able to get his eyes fixed. There was another boy we heard about also who had his eyes straightened he didn't go to school last year. He refused to go to school just because he was picked on so much by his classmates. And this year he told his dad, he said, "I'm ready to go to school now." It was just kind of exciting to say, "Hey, I didn't do the surgery. I was a general helper on this team," but just to be a part of that and just to understand that God cares about all of these people just like he cares about you and I. We removed about over 100 cataracts that people had from their eyes. And like I said earlier, it was exciting to see these people have the bandages removed and to be able to see for the first time in a long time. One lady remarked that the first thing she saw was a clock on the wall. And she said, "The time has begun again because now she can see again." You know, you and I don't understand that. We take for granted the good health that we have here. It's just an amazing thing. I remember seeing people come through the glasses area and they get fitted for their glasses. And they're just beaming. They get up and they want to hug everybody around you, and they're talking to you in Spanish, and you just smile and give them a hug and assume that it was something good. But they're just very excited about what they were able to receive. And so I think one of the main things that I learned is that God cares about people all over the world. It's not just you and I that he cares about, but he loves them just as much as he loves us. It was about God's love for people. I was going to show you here that picture up at the top there. That's a cataract that was removed. You see how dark that is. Can you imagine trying to see through that in your eye? There were various kinds of cataracts, but this was a pretty bad one here. But God loves people. You know, as I looked at these long lines of people, I was reminded of how Jesus responded to the people. And I'd like you to remember, how did Jesus respond to people, the people around him when he came? I want to look at several verses here. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. In Matthew 20, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Matthew 15, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. In Mark 1, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. In Matthew 9, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In 2 Corinthians, we as believers are called the aroma of Christ. It says that God through us spreads everywhere the fragrance and knowledge of him. And I'm wondering, how is our fragrance this morning? What kind of aroma do we give off to the world around us? I was able to see some of this in my teammates as we served these people in San Carlos. I smelled the fragrance of Christ through their unselfish compassion and love for the people. And I've seen that in people here at LCF who have shown unselfish love and compassion to those around them, either in their neighborhoods or people that they work with. And it's a question that I want to look at this morning. I don't feel qualified to speak on this topic because I myself have so much to learn about what it means to really love somebody else, to really have compassion for them. So I have questions about it. How do I develop a lifestyle of compassion for others? I mean, realistically, just taking 2 weeks and going down and doing a mission trip is something that's pretty easy to do. I mean, we can put up with a few things for a couple weeks. But I think the bigger question is, how do I make a lifestyle of compassion and love for others? How do I do that day in and day out where I live normally? Do I notice the poor, the sick, and the hurting people that are around me? And how do I respond to them? Do I have the compassion of Christ? And these are some of the questions that have been rolling around my head even before the trip. God had been working on me about this question of how do I respond to the needs around me? And yes, there's no question that not any one of us can meet all of the needs that we come in contact with. It's impossible. But God has given each of us people, the people right under our noses that he's given to us, that need to feel the love and compassion of Christ through us. So I don't have the answers to the question, but I know that some things need to change in my own life. And I think as a church, we need to look at changing some things too. The trip gave me some clues as to what might need to change and what are ways, maybe practical ways, that we can move in a direction of developing compassion and love for people. The first simple point that I learned is that we need to get out there. And we need to see for ourselves. I've listened to presentations. I've read material that comes in my mailbox. I've, you know, heard things on the radio. I read the news. But it's easy to become numb to all of that and just kind of let it slide over my head and think, well, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world, and you know, there's nothing I can do about it, so why bother thinking about it too much? I'm just going to be depressed. But I think we need to get out there. And I'm not just talking about mission trips, although that would be one way of, like Levi said, of there's nothing like getting out there and seeing how other people live in the world. And I know several of you have been different places in the world, and you've seen that for yourself. But there's nothing like getting out there and seeing that face to face, being confronted with that and saying, how do I respond to that? It can be a difficult thing to work through and thinking, I remember thinking as we were going down, you know, why am I living a life of pretty much privilege and these people have this lot in life? And how did that happen? And how do I come to grips with that? It requires some trust in God's plan. And I think one of the main things that I drew from that is those of us who have been given more, much more is expected of us. And so we as North Americans, I think there is much more expected of us than those people down there who had very little. We're expected to use what we have to further God's kingdom and to help also in these situations around the world. So we have a huge responsibility as people of privilege. So we need to get out there. This will require us to not only just go on mission trips, but to ask each other deeper questions about what's going on in our lives. There are people right here who need God's compassion and love shown to them, that are going through things that we don't even understand because we simply have not asked the question or stopped to listen about how they're really doing in life. It will require more contact, more phone calls, chats, or text messages, however your preferred way of communicating is, more invites to dinner, to breakfast, getting together and really talking about the things that are going on in our lives. I think it will require venturing into poor parts of our neighborhoods and communities. It will require us to involve ourselves in the social structures of our society so we can see firsthand what the needs are. Because it's only then that we really have a chance to respond to them. And I know from being on these trips that it's difficult to absorb these things without seeing them firsthand. The second thing, the simple thing that I learned on this trip, is that we need to work together. There's nothing like joining together as a team for a common goal, a common task, and accomplishing that together. It's exciting, it's fun, and yes, there is some friction when you work closely with other people. I'm sure that some of us got on each other's nerves on this trip. Fortunately, Levi was at one end of the building and I was at the other. So we did pretty well. But you know, there's some friction that happens. But we need to work together, appreciate each other's skills, what we bring to the table. And there's some encouragement and strength in unity and working together on problems in helping people. So I encourage us to do that. And the question that I have is, what is God calling us to do together? We're already doing things together, but I think there are more things that He's asking us to do together. What are the ideas, the things that God is bringing to you? And bring other people in on that, to join you in that. There's others that probably have a similar vision that God is speaking to as well. So a simple idea of working together. And my prayer for our church is that we would be a close team that works hard together to accomplish the mission that God has given us. So let's challenge each other, encourage each other to show the compassion of Christ to the world. Sacrifice is maybe an obvious thing, but one we need to look at. We need to be willing to sacrifice for others. Now, I don't want to paint a bad picture of the trip, about the trip, but there were some sacrifices that people made in order to carry out this project. I mean, the simple fact of blocking out 2 weeks out of a schedule in our schedules is a challenge to do that. I think any of you would say that would be a challenge, to block out 2 weeks out of your schedule to do something like this. There was financial obligations to go. And like we mentioned earlier, we ate rice and beans for almost every meal. I got really tired of it. Larissa did a lot better than I did. And it was hot and dusty and dirty. The showers were cold. And like Larissa said, one shower, there weren't any showers at one hotel. And some of the, in the picture here, there's geckos everywhere. For those of you who don't like those kinds of things, they were all over the place. Dr. Vivian did not appreciate them, although I think she got over that partway through, but that was a challenge for her. She put a towel down at the base of her door just so that none could come in underneath her door, but I think they could get in pretty much anywhere, even besides that. So, and the one trip, you have to be flexible on these trips. Things were continually changing. Our flight back to Managua was canceled. So everybody was ready to go home. We were tired. We were ready to go back. And the last thing we wanted to hear was, your flight's been canceled. And so what were we going to do about that? You know, well, we were supposed to fly out the next morning, so that night we got a bus and headed out about 9 o'clock at night to drive to Managua, over a road that was, I can't believe it, they actually call it a road, but there were boulders and ravines, it seemed like, and we could only go about 5 miles an hour. It took us 5 hours to go, I think, 40 miles on the first part of the road. It was dusty. We were all coated with dust by the time we got back to Managua, and our luggage looked like it had, you know, gone through a dust storm. We got back about 6 o'clock in the morning. I was surprised. Everybody was, I didn't see too many bad attitudes. There would have been reasons for bad attitudes on that trip. But so there are sacrifices that we make. You know, some of us got sick from the food and the water over there. And not everybody that you serve is appreciative. We had some more affluent people come through that I could tell when they were coming in the line. I'm like, we're going to have trouble with this one. Because you fit them with glasses and they weren't happy with them. They needed to be just so. They weren't happy with the fact that their prescription was right. And you and I can identify with that, and I can understand that to a degree. But three or four different pairs of glasses, we were ready for them to move on. Because they're getting a free service. But it just reminded me of how differently we as affluent people respond to things, whereas poor people respond much more gratefully for simpler things than what we even have. So, you know, not everybody is going to appreciate what you're doing for them, or at least show it to you. So sacrifice is a definite part of somebody's camera got stolen while we were there. But don't kid yourself that you can be a true servant while only doing what is convenient for you and what fits into your schedule. That's really not what service is about. It's not about what fits with your life, and if it fits, you'll do it. Service is about sacrifice. The days were long and very chaotic. The glasses area, I found it to be quite stressful at times, and we returned from each clinic very tired and just ready to crash. And after a few days, I was starting to wonder what I had gotten myself into. It just seemed long days. And lots, just endless lines of people. It just kind of overwhelmed you after a while. But we are not promised that we will always see the results of our labor, but we are promised that we will be rewarded for it, either in this life or the next life to come. And we were fortunate to see in this work, to see lives transformed before our very eyes. And I mentioned that already. It was exciting to see, but we don't always get to see the results of our service. There are many things that people do that go unnoticed in this life, acts of service that others do not notice and don't show appreciation for. After an exhausting week, our team had the opportunity to travel by boat for 2 hours to recharge on a remote island. The island was just a beautiful place, a lush vegetation, beautiful flowers. And some of you may know that one of the things that I love to do is to kayak. And it just so happened on the island, there was an American hidden back in the woods on one end of the island. He had a couple kayaks, and we were able to rent them out and explore the islands. It was even more exciting to know that there were sharks in the water as we were kayaking. Just a little motivation to keep from tipping it over. And we did get close a few times. We had a few kind of harrowing experiences because we had one canoe and two kayaks, and the canoe with one person in it didn't go very well. And it was a fairly brisk wind, and we were headed into the wind trying to get out to a little island we saw way out there, and we got about 3/4 of the way out, and the rest was in the canoe, and she just couldn't go anymore. And so we turned around and headed for shore, and the wind was just blowing us downwind. We couldn't really. So finally I said, well, let's just head to the direction the wind is taking us, to shore as close as we can get, and then we'll switch around. And we did make it back to shore, and I was glad Doris wasn't along, but she probably wouldn't have headed out to begin with, I might guess, but she probably said, you're crazy. But it was fun. It was the first place we headed across to another island and got up close to shore, and here were there a bunch of monkeys in the trees on the edge of the island. We just sat there and watched the monkeys play around for a while in the wild. So it was just one of those rewards that I felt like God just kind of stuck in there. And he does that for us. You know, he, at just the right time, he gives us a little glimpse of hope. He gives us a little reward to keep us going. And so we do have rewards to reap now and later. So what was our, here's our kayak. What was our trip about? Well, it really was about God's love for people, Jesus' compassion for people. The compassion he has when he sees the crowds of lost, lonely, and hurting people. And what are our lives about as followers of Christ? Well, a large part of it should be about people. And my prayer this morning is that God would open our eyes, that he would open my eyes to all of those people around us, either inside the church or outside the church, who need to experience the aroma, the fragrance of Christ through us. It will require us to go out of our way to see and to look. It will require us to work more closely together as a team or teams. And it will require us to sacrifice and give up many things in order to serve. And why should we do this? Well, it is part of our calling as followers of Christ. We do it in obedience, following the example that Christ has set before us, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life for many. It is a calling on each of us, and I'd like to leave you with this verse of Scripture that I showed earlier about our Lord Jesus Christ and how he responded to the people. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Would you bow your heads this morning? I'd like to give you a little challenge this morning. And wondering if any of you would take me up on that. But would you be willing this next week to at least take some small step to go out of your way to notice the needs of those around you? And I'd encourage you also to pray that God would open your eyes. Make that a part of your prayer. I don't know what it will look like. Maybe it's picking up the phone and calling someone you may have an inkling is struggling. Or maybe it's going out to breakfast. Or maybe God's been prompting you to volunteer at a homeless shelter or some other kind of service. But God calls each of us to different things. But I'm wondering if you would make an extra effort this week to discover those people who desperately need to experience the aroma of Christ through you. I know there are many of you that live this out regularly, and this challenge isn't for you to feel guilty. But there are some of you who need to be challenged. I need to be challenged. We need to open our eyes and respond with compassion and with love. So I'm just going to ask you this morning, if you're willing to take some step in that this week, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to hold you accountable, but it's just a way of you saying, yes, I'm willing to do something different this week. Thank you for responding. Let's pray and ask God to help us in that. Father, we thank you for the incredible love that you have for us and the love that you have for the whole world. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes this week. Lord, show us those people who need to be touched by you. Father, give us sensitivity to them. And give us compassion. Help us to reach out, to take some risk, to do some sacrificing of our own wants and our own needs and desires. And Father, we ask that you would just fill us with your love and compassion, that it might just pour out of our lives and overflow into the lives of others around us. So we give thanks for your wonderful love for us. We pray that you would pour that out through us to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.